What's going on, guys? This is Andrew with the Utah Jazz Podcast. Sorry, it's been a couple of days since I've actually done this. I just had some crap going on. So, anyways, the Jazz lose three straight. That's tough. Jazz, that's really not the way you want to do this. Lose to Boston just the other night, and before that, who do we play before that? It was the Clippers. So lose the Clippers. And then we lose to Boston at home. That was a tough one. The Jazz played actually really well, with the exception of the third quarter. Third quarter, in the last two, or last, well, and tonight wasn't too bad, actually. Actually, it was, not looking at it. Third quarters are, and Jazz have struggled in past years with third quarters. In recent years, it's not been too bad, but you go back to the Williams-Boozer era, the Jazz had a lot of third quarter troubles, and it looks like those are kind of making a reappearance right now. In the past three games, the Jazz have been killed in the third quarters. Tonight, the 26-18 third quarter in favor of Atlanta, and the Jazz make a strong push in the fourth quarter to get it down to seven, and with about a minute and a half or so left, and just could not capitalize on it. Missed free throws. Really, the energy kind of disappeared in that third quarter, but thankfully, Damari Carroll came back in after he injured his knee. They're saying it was just tendonitis. It looked like he hyperextended his knee after a knee-on-knee collision, and he sat out until the late third quarter early, and then he came back in, and he played very well tonight after he came back, and that's what we need, and it was great that he came back in, because if it wasn't for him, Jazz would have lost by 20. So, Damari did a lot of good for the Jazz tonight, even though we still lost. But anyways, the Jazz shoot 45% from the field, 56% from the free throw line, 27 from three, 17 dimes, 47 rebounds. That's awesome right there. Unfortunately, it was a loss. 13 turnovers. So, you look at this. The only thing that really stands out is the free throws and three-point percentage. Assists are a little low, but if you're scoring, the Jazz scored fine. Not fine, but struggled at some points. 91 points is a little low. Actually, quite low. And allowing 102, so it's not a good differential. And mainly it's free throws. You look at the free throws. Atlanta shoots 49% from the field, 81% from the free throw line, 29% from deep, 23 dimes, 38 rebounds, and 11 turnovers. So you look at it and it's like, let's take a look at the free throws right now. Jazz miss 10 free throws. 13 of 23, not good. 4 of 15 from 3, 27%, as far as who played well, Derek Favors played awesome. He got the start tonight in place of Paul Millsap, who was out with a sprained right ankle. I think it was right? Left? I think it was right. I think it was right ankle. He sprained it up, and he sprained it against the Celtics, and he continued to play, but I think it probably just swelled up, and obviously when you sit, is when you stop putting weight on and everything and just let it kind of sit. That's when it really kind of swells up and hurts. And that's probably just what happened. So I would guess that he's coming back next game against Charlotte, which is our final home game of this huge home stretch the Jazz have had, where they had 15 of 20 at home. Al Jefferson played great. He had 17 points in the first half. Unfortunately, he didn't bring as much in the second half, but still 26 points. He also had 11 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. He played pretty well. 12 of 22 from the field, 2 of 7 from the free throw line. Jazz were just terrible from the free throw line tonight. Derek Favors was 5 of 6. Favors had 17 points and 15 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. He was a beast tonight. I think he's showing, hey, I need to play. I need minutes. I should start. And this was a huge just kind of, hey, this is what I can do when you give me the minutes. 15 rebounds, 17 points. That is beast. And he was very good defensively. He actually did not get a foul. And I don't think he didn't pick up a foul until the third quarter. So he's showing he can defend without fouling and stay on the court. Randy Foy wasn't good. 11 points, 2 for 5 from 3, 4 10 overall. Did hit his one free throw attempt. 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. It was Big Al and Derek Favors. Everybody else was kind of mediocre tonight. Let's look at the free throws. Big Al misses 5 free throws. Watts misses 2. Burks misses 2. Favors only missed one. I mean, it adds up. I mean, you're like, oh, okay, here and there, you missed some free throws, but it adds up overall. 10 missed free throws, and it's an 11-point loss. And you're like, well, that could be different. I mean, you make seven free throws. You make seven of those missed free throws, and it's entirely different game down the stretch. The Hawks played very good defense. They got some really easy fast break points. It was mainly just they played the passing lanes. I swear they had probably had like 10 steals leading to easy layups. And I mean, I don't know how many steals they had. Let's take a look right here. They had 8 steals, and I swear all of them were in the passing lanes, and all of them they got like easy layups on. So Korver returns to to Utah, only scores 4 points. He did get a 3-pointer actually. But Korver played 37 minutes. He puts in 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and that's it. It's kind of crazy. Al Horford puts up 34 points. I mean, he is very good. He put up also 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 5 blocks. He was a beast tonight. Josh Smith pounds the Jazz for 24 and 14, plus 7 assists. Wow. He played very good tonight. Devin Harris, he didn't play as good as he did when the Jazz were in Atlanta, but he still put up 12 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. He is playing much better. I mean, the Harris we saw the last third of last season, he was incredible. I mean, that's the Harris we wanted, and then he disappeared in the playoffs. He didn't show up in the first two-thirds of the season, and now he's playing pretty much like this. I mean, every time I see, he's usually playing pretty well. He's shooting a lot better from three. He's actually attacking more. He's not just shooting threes. He did a lot of that with Jazz, and he just maybe the Jazz system just wasn't for him. I don't know. Maybe it was a combination of him not showing up for a while and whatnot. But I mean, and then Jeff Teague, 19 points, 7 of 14 from the field, 4 for 5 from the free throw line. Put up 7 dimes, 2 rebounds, and 3 steals. My cat's going crazy right now. I don't know what he's doing. He was pretty calm earlier, but anyways. The Hawks, I mean, I don't know why. Everybody's writing them off, and they're playing fantastic. I mean, everybody's like, well, at the... the beginning of the year, everybody was like, oh, the Hawks, blah, they'll be, bottom feeders. And they're playing great. They're playing fantastic. I mean, I don't know why people were writing them off right off the bat. I mean, if we go to the standings, I think they're top 4. They're 4th seed right now, 33 and 23. That's pretty dang good. I mean, for a team that lost Joe Johnson, who is like their main scorer, go to the clutch guy, And, yeah, I mean, he's playing very well. The Hawks are playing very well. So the Jazz now stand, have lost 3 in a row after winning 3 straight, struggling right now. And, the last 2 games you really wanted to win because you knew you were probably going to lose against the Clippers. And then you come back home, you have 3 home games. Okay? You win those 3, you go on the road, you got Milwaukee. I want to say Washington. I mean, you got some kind of bottom feeder teams, and then you have 1 or 2 good teams you're going up against. And you're like, okay, let's get these wins. Maybe the Jazz can win like 5 or 6 of these games, or 6 or 7 or whatever, and Jazz can be maybe like 9 games over 500, which would be fantastic. The Jazz dropped to 31 and 27. We're only 4. How do I do math? Only 4 games above 500 now after being 7. Just a few days ago, just last week, Jazz were 7 games above 500. Now the Jazz dropped to 4. Luckily, the Houston Rockets lost tonight, as well as the Golden State Warriors. So the Jazz don't really lose much ground on that. But the Jazz are still only half a game ahead of Houston, and still trail 2 games behind Golden State. So the Jazz really need to pick things up. I mean, yes, if the Jazz finish 500 for the rest of the season, win half of their games, the Jazz will still make the playoffs. The Lakers are kind of trying to make a push. They're still 3 games behind the Jazz, but the Jazz own the tiebreaker against them. Jazz also own the tiebreaker against Portland. Or do they? I think we do. I believe we do. I think we do. I think it's the Rockets we're tied with right now. I think we got one more game, or maybe not. I can't remember. I think the Houston owned the tiebreaker between the Jazz, but the Jazz owned the tiebreaker between the Lakers and the Blazers. So even if, you know, the Jazz tied both of them. But anyways, sorry, I just had to do something real quick. But you know, the Jazz got some tough things coming up, and if they can get, you know, maybe some good wins on the road, hopefully we can get this going. But you know, the Jazz owning those tiebreakers, I don't see the Jazz falling out of the playoffs. I just don't, you know, unless the Jazz really flop up. I mean, the Jazz, I think they've got momentum, they've got chemistry and everything. I think the Jazz will be quite fine. If anything, I think they'll move up. I don't know if the Jazz will drop below Houston, unless Houston goes on a tear. I think likely scenario, the Jazz will stick at 7, maybe go to 6 if Golden State kind of starts slipping a bit. But other than that, that's, I don't see the Jazz really doing too much moving up or down. So anyways, that's all I got for you today. Sorry, it hasn't been too many. But and then the no trade deadline, that I'm actually quite fine with that. The only thing is, you know, just got to wait to buy Rajah Bell out, and maybe we can pick up another player. But, you know, Mo Williams should be back in the next, I want to say, probably about 2 to 3 weeks. He's rehabbing right now. He's got his pins out of his thumb, and he's just practicing. He's just strengthening and all that kind of that fun stuff. So I think he'll be back about 2 to 3 weeks. So anyways, thanks for listening. Have a great day. Follow me on Twitter at OakleyCon, OakleyCon. And I will see you guys next up at home versus Charlotte. So hopefully we get that win. But we really need a bounce back win badly, and this is the one to do. So anyways, have a great day.